Well, we're called to be salt, aren't we? Salt is known as a preservative, which we should be to mankind, right? What Jesus is to us, we should be to others. But he said in Matthew 5:13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men." And obviously we can look around us and see that's exactly what's happening, because Christians have not been salt. They're now being trampled under the feet of the beast. And not so much as will come, though, I believe. And this is what happens to those who don't seek to bring salvation in all of its forms to mankind. And we know that for such a time as this have we come to the kingdom. We need to intercede to the king and do his warfare against his enemies. Just as in Esther, the man, child, and the bride warred against the king's enemies. Jeremiah 48:10, we're told, "Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord negligently, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood." And we know what the sword is. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart." So that's why it's a two-edged sword. It's good for discerning our own heart, the hearts of others, but it is our sword, and it's made to kill with. And that is, we are here to fight against the enemies of God, the enemies of his people, the enemies of the betterment of mankind as far as coming into the kingdom. We're here to fight the Lord's battles, right? Unless we swing the sword of the word, our enemy will win against us. We have to do this on the personal front against the enemies of our soul. We have to do it on the political front against the enemies that would take us and the nation that we live in into captivity, physically speaking. And we need to do this on a personal front against those principalities who would poison our bodies with chemtrails or bring disease or other curses upon us. And many out there, of course, recently are being attacked with the chemtrail crud again because they're trying a new version of it, obviously. So, you know, we're supposed to be warring against these things and also claiming God's immunity because of his Passover, right? I believe that because we stand on the Passover, we're headed towards the Red Sea, which is a conquering of our enemy, so that we can go freedom in the wilderness, you know. Our sword is the Word of God. We're told in Isaiah 54:17, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper." We need to remember that when we speak against the weapons that we see rising up in politics, in the nation, from the principalities and powers, trying, for instance, to make this nation into a Muslim nation under the Islamic God. "So no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn." So we can condemn those that rise against us in judgment. We can do warfare. Not the kind of warfare that the world does with weapons. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, who actually are the ones that are living and acting through the wicked. So we deal with them. And we can be very, very effective doing that, but we'll always fail doing the other. But he said, "Thou shalt condemn." And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. and their righteousness, which is of me, says the Lord. So, watch the people who speak against Christianity and against our God and so on and so forth. No, we're not to insult them, and we're not to go rage at them, and we're not to go shoot at them or anything like that. But we can condemn the principalities and powers behind that and bring it to naught. Luke 9:1 says, "And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases." Over all demons. It's easy to see where demons are dealing out there. They're liars, they're thieves, they're fornicators, they're everything that God is not. And those we have authority over. And Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions." Two different classes of demons. "And over all the power of the enemy." All the power of the enemy. "And nothing shall in any wise hurt you." That is, if we're exercising this power. But if we don't exercise this power over the enemy, can we be hurt? Well, of course. Of course we can. And to have the nation taken over by Islam is not a good thing. I mean, there would be an awful lot of murder and bloodshed to bring this to pass. Many people who would never get to know the Lord, including the Muslims. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, we're told, "But thanks be unto God, who always leadeth us in triumph." And we know that the word triumph is not the victory, it's the celebration of the victory. We can celebrate the victory that was won by Christ at the cross over this world. We're joint heirs with Christ. We own this world. And we need to be good stewards. "And maketh manifest through us the savor of his knowledge in every place." Yes, and that's salt in itself, to make sure that we give out the knowledge of the Lord. And we celebrate the victory, which is before it happens, before it manifests in the physical, we celebrate it. We give thanks to God. We've been given authority, and we're going to exercise it, and we're going to see the results. By the way, we've been seeing the results. Amen. We've asked the Lord to reveal the corruption, and oh my Lord, is he ever doing it? It is everywhere. There's people coming out of the woodwork everywhere. I heard one man say, who was in the internet media, that he was just so shocked that so many people were now coming out, even after they've shot, six people in the last month, for either trying to prosecute or be a witness against Hillary, and yet people are still coming out. I mean, these are all people that are willing to sacrifice their lives to be a help to the nation, and people are coming out from all different walks of the government and just squealing. So Mark 11:22 says, if we're going to exercise this authority, we need to believe what Jesus said. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. And we believe the literal of that is have the faith of God. Because of the reconciliation that Christ made, the exchange that he made of his life for ours, we now have his faith. And he bore our unbelief on that cross, right? So don't keep saying you don't have faith. Start saying you do have faith. Jesus said, have the faith of God. That's a command. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, that's a pretty big chore, isn't it? Be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Now, that's astounding, isn't it? That's astounding. We see things like that as impossible. We're not supposed to see them as impossible. Is anything impossible with God, right? And therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. He wants us to believe this, to glorify Him. Because there's you're doing absolutely nothing to bring this to pass in the flesh when you believe you have received. Who else can get the glory but God? Alright? And whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against anyone, that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So people that don't forgive don't have this promise. That's why he's put that condition in there. So we're to exercise our faith towards the king, just like Esther, the bride. By the way, I want to say that most of the church doesn't even believe in this. You understand? But the bride does. I can assure you the bride believes in this. The righteous shall live from faith. The bride believes that she can go before the king and she will get her answers. Alright? Psalm 103:20 says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that are mighty in strength, that fulfill his word, hearkening unto the voice of his word." That's right. When you speak in agreement with the word, which is what the high priest of our confession means, to speak the same as, you speak the same as the word, a high priest of our confession then has an offering to give to the Father, and the Father then confesses us and before the holy angels. And so the angels are mighty in strength to fulfill his word. We don't have to worry about fulfilling things. We just speak the word. And they go forth to fulfill it. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, you ministers of his that do his pleasure. Amen. Well, Psalm 2. I want to start reading in verse 1 here and share a little bit with you here. Why do the nations rage and the peoples meditate a vain thing? They meditate a thing that they are not able to bring to pass for those who are believers in the Word of God. The kings of the earth set themselves. Well, now we know about the kings of the earth. There's a competition going on to be the king here. And they have set themselves. And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Yes, we can see that. That's very obvious. The status quo has against the Lord. They're plotting, they're scheming against God's people. By the way, God's people are his anointed. Who are the Lord's anointed? 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now, he that establisheth us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. There's what the anointing is right there. Jesus physically became the anointed when he was filled with the Spirit, right? And we also, as the body of Christ, are anointed when we are filled with the Spirit. And what do the kings plot to do against the anointed? Remember the dreams we had the other day about the leadership of Turkey and the leadership of America competing to take out the bride, right? I can assure you the bride is anointed. Let us break their bonds asunder. Yeah, they feel like we are cramping their style. They don't like us because we're too much like our Lord, although we're not enough like our Lord. but they don't like what they see because they hate God. And so it is with the religious too. It's the same situation. They hate the really spirit-filled, spirit followers and prove themselves not to be who they think they are. And cast away their cords from us. They feel like we're putting them in bondage. We're restraining them. Even though physically speaking, we're not doing too much of that, but a lot of the people of God are doing that. They're seeking through politics to constrain the wicked. Okay? But the Lord says, He that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. The Lord will have them in derision. That is, those who seek to bind His people, to cast away His people, to speak and to work against His anointed. The Lord's going to laugh. He's going to have them in derision, confusion. Can we speak this confusion to them? Of course. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we send out Your confusing spirits to confuse the wicked. They won't know which way is up. They'll be so busy fighting one another that they won't have time to fight against Your anointed. We ask, Lord, that You reveal everything, that You bring it all out in the open, so that the world can see how wicked they are. Even those who don't have internet but are on TV, Lord, give them that feeling. Help them understand. Let them discern the evil of the media that is bought out and the people that they promote. We ask it in Jesus' name, Father. Then will He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Well, I guarantee you one thing, they are vexed. That's been very obvious. Demon-possessed. That is very obvious. Yet have I set My King upon My holy hill of Zion. Amen. We would say that this is Jesus and whatever body He chooses to rule in. Right? And I will tell of the decree. The Lord said unto me, Thou art My Son. This day have I begotten Thee. Ask of Me, and I will give Thee the nations for Thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for Thy possession. Well, you know, the Lord has given us to rule over the nations. And we do ask for the Lord, from the Lord, that we would inherit the nations, that we would be useful in bringing the nations of peoples into the kingdom. You know, we speak against the things that the wicked do and say. Our most fervent thought is always that they be saved. But barring that, if the Lord does not choose to do that, we ask Him to remove them and to remove their supporters and to remove their media, which is a false prophet. It says, Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Well, the overcomers in the book of Revelation will do that, right? Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And that's the only way that some of them can really seek God, is to be broken. Now therefore be wise, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Hey. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way. I believe the word worship means literally to kiss towards. We worship the Son, don't we? lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath will soon be kindled. Blessed are all they that take refuge in him. Well, you get the idea. The Lord wants us to be salt. He wants us to come against not only what the devil wants to do to us, but what he wants to do to the people around us to make it impossible for them to understand and hear the truth. I mean, they're obviously making war against this nation to bring it into Islam for a purpose. They want to destroy the strength and the power of this nation. Islam, everywhere it goes, it does that. Just like communism. Everywhere communism went, it did not work. It did not motivate people. Islam is the same way. It doesn't work. It doesn't work for the people. It puts a lot of people in bondage, but it doesn't work. Well, in my reading, I've understood that on October the 1st, Obama, through the Commerce Department, is handing off control of the Internet to ICANN. ICANN. And this would make the Internet controlled by people like the Russians and the Chinese government officials through ICANN. This is a kind of a faceless international organization which you don't have any control over. You don't vote them in, and so on and so forth. And of course, Obama doesn't have the right to do this, but that don't stop him. He's really stolen the Internet because it doesn't really belong to him. And this is so totally unconstitutional. But that doesn't make any difference either. So I think we ought to pray against this. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take the authority that you've given us over all the power of the enemy. And you said nothing would hurt us. But Lord, if they gain control over the Internet and the Internet media and what Christians do to promote Christianity on the Internet, they will then have control over 100% of the media. Obviously, people like Trump, who like to get out there and tell more truth than the other side, at least, would be totally cut off, because that's where he's getting his support. And Christians who want to do the work of getting the gospel out don't have any recourse in most cases to TV or any other media style. And so, of course, they would be cut off. This just fits really good in with their plan of promoting Islam. So, Father, we come against this in the name of Jesus. We cast down this effort to turn the Internet over to people who are not Christians, who don't favor Christians, so on and so forth. We just ask that your angels go forth to put a stop to this in the name of Jesus Christ. Also, I have learned from people that have connections in the government, because people in the government, by the way, there are people there that don't want to see what is happening, but they don't find it healthy to speak out, as you have noticed. But they're very happy when somebody does, and they give information to them. And one of the things that's been heard quite a bit from inside different facets of the government is that on October the 1st, martial law will be implemented. Well, now that's interesting. On October the 1st, they want to hand off the Internet to, like I said, a faceless organization that's not voted in, and we have no authority over or power over through the vote. So it's a dictatorship doing its job again here. But on the same date, that's very unusual. Obviously, if there's martial law, they may bring the Internet down in order to transfer it over. And, of course, also to put the people in total darkness. Wouldn't you understand that that before the November election, they'd love to bring the internet down. The internet's doing them a lot of damage. And they're going out there seeking ways to negate that damage and the things that are being spoken. And by the way, you know, if there is martial law at that time, I don't doubt it might even happen even before that time from other information that we've got, some Bible codes possibly that are being interpreted right. We'll find out. But things like that make me think it could even happen before that time. Either way, they want martial law. They want to stop the Trump movement. And they don't care about the will of the people. They're communists of a sort. So, Father, we just come against all that in the name of Jesus Christ. Why do I think that there will be martial law? I mean, is it something we can pray down? Well, I don't think so. I don't think so. That's all I can say. I believe that martial law would fulfill the type of captivity to the beast that was like in Jesus' day. Jesus was the man child. He began that tribulation in that day. He also began the revival in that day. And they were in bondage to the Romans. There was a captivity. There was a bondage there. For us to fulfill these types like that, and Haman, you know, Haman, he put the people of God in bondage and under threat of death. Pharaoh also. Sennacherib also. You know? And also, I do believe that not only is the Lord going to fulfill that type because the things that have been are the things that shall be, I believe that this thing would return the fear of the Lord to God's people. And also, I thought about Samson, who killed more in his death than he did in his life. Of course, that's true of all of us. We're much more effective in our death than we are in our life. But he took out the lords of the Philistines. He took out the government, for goodness sake. And we found out that the man-child, too, is going to take out and take down governments as he comes. So, Father, we thank you for thwarting this work against the internet. We'd like to see the gospel go out freely for a while. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus, Father. Hallelujah. Lord, I ask that your people out there take their authority seriously and come against all efforts of the wicked to take control over the last vestige of free media that we have, and also martial law. Now, Father, I believe, I'm not sure, but I believe you're saying that you want to have at least a portion of this martial law. There's ways in which you don't want it to be successful. And Lord, we too don't want it to be successful in doing anything but taking out the wicked who are controlling your people. We would like, Lord, that you, because of the Passover, would support and hide and bless your people. And we pray for that right now. We ask you, Lord, that you would hide and protect your people. And they're hidden in the Lamb. They're hidden with Christ in God. And so we thank you for doing that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. That there'll be a confusion out there. They won't get to accomplish what they want to accomplish. Anything they want to accomplish, Lord, we just ask that you don't let it be accomplished. And we just send confusion in their hearts so that they're not able to bring to pass what they plan to do against the righteous, their Father, and what he plans to do against the righteous. There's another thing that's going on, and that is that Obama and a man named Sadiq Khan, who is a mayor in London, have just passed online Sharia law. A guy named Alex Cooper reported on this, and that, if you know anything about Sharia, it's a very legalistic, And it really just goes according to the rules of the particular Muslim group that has it, because there's no standard for it whatsoever. They make up their rules as they go along, and if they don't like you, they'll make them up against you. So basically, there's some pretty nasty stuff you all know about, you know, cutting off hands and killing women that don't respect their wishes, and you know, and obviously it's okay to go out and rape people of other cultures and things, and they're a pretty nasty bunch, you know. Anyway, Alex Cooper reported that Obama, addressing the Department of Justice on new executive legislation — that doesn't mean that he gives it over to the legislative branch, it just means that he does it himself, right? You understand that. It's a dictatorship. Obama has just begun working with London's Muslim mayor to institute a global law that will fight anti-Muslim talk. The idea has spawned London's first mayor, Muslim mayor Sadiq Khan. Have they ever made a mistake? Currently, a partnership is being established between all of the major online companies. Companies included in this partnership include Google, YouTube, Bing, Microsoft, Yahoo, Twitter, and Facebook. So these companies, Lord, that are supporting this kind of evil to take over America — it points out, of course, that they're totally antichrist. And we ask you, Lord, to take the money that they have to abuse God's people away from them. We ask you to take the power that they have to abuse God's people away from them. We ask that you take away the leadership that is turning these companies in this direction. We ask you, Lord, to fight for your people in this country, and fight for those first 3.5 years that we're supposed to have of being able to raise up the church into the image of Jesus Christ, and before the beast makes war on the saints. So, Lord, we just thank you. You're able to bring down any company. You're able to bring down any nation. We ask you to bring them down. And the elite behind them, we ask you to take them down. The elite who have bribed them, who own them, etc., etc. We ask you to bring them down and to take their money. As your word says, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. To take their money and use it for the gospel. That's what we ask. In the name of Jesus, Father. And you said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. So we're thanking you for a miracle there too, Lord. And the elite who are supporting Black Lives Matter and other terrorist groups in this country, Lord, we ask you to take away their money that they're using to support these people and send into these people, and bring them down. It's obvious, Lord, that you're making the people sick that have murdered so many people, bringing their health down. And we think, Lord, if that gets their attention away from murdering people, praise God. Praise God. We thank you for continuing to do that, Lord. And, of course, they have also made an enforcement arm. Sadiq Khan has committed $2 million to create the new Home Office Police Innovation Fund, which is, of course, to police the Internet and Muslims and people that speak against Muslims. Excuse me. So, Father, we thank you for bringing that down in the name of Jesus Christ. That the Internet will stay free, that the gospel can go forth. We just thank you for doing that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And one more a prayer request and a prayer for warfare here, too. This is about the Clinton Foundation witnesses coming forward in the pay for play investigation. And again, there are so many coming forward as shocking people, people that are in danger. I mean, they don't mind killing a lot of people. I mean, they're doing it with the, I think it's the Clintons that have charge over this chemtrail stuff, from what I've read. So they have killed a lot of people, and they don't care. And they'll do it again. So, Father, we just ask you in Jesus' name to protect these witnesses, Lord, and do a mighty miracle of revealing what's really going on here. The treason that's going on here. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And also, there are legal troubles for the foundation because the FBI and the U.S. Attorney are probing the foundation. And I ask, Lord, that the people that are doing this be protected by you, Father. People like Bahara, U.S. Attorney, who's probing this and has been very successful in bringing other lawless people to trial. We ask that you protect him, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you protect people like Dr. Sebastian Gorka and Major General Matthew C. Horner, who have accused the administration of treason for manipulating intelligence in order to keep the American public in the dark about the situation with ISIS. They're protecting ISIS. They're doing it because they formed ISIS, and they formed it to take over the world for them. So that's why I say, Father, we just ask you in Jesus' name, let all these efforts come to naught in the name of Jesus Christ. We cast them down. We forbid this in Jesus' name. You said what we forbid on earth is forbidden in heaven. And Lord, we're continuing to believe this until it comes to pass. And we thank you. We know, Lord, that you have chosen a time in your word when the beast will make war on the saints, but Jacob at that time will no longer be small and will be capable to be tested and tried and brought into the kingdom and learn to walk by faith and all these things. And we know that, Lord, that that's coming in the middle of the tribulation period. So we ask you, Lord, for that first 3.5 years. To get the word out, to bless your people. So that's just a few, but I exhort you, brethren, to, since you are the ones with the authority, you can go to the king to please spend time every day doing this. It's having an effect. I mean, the things that we've prayed for so far, we're just amazed at what God is doing to reveal what's hidden in darkness. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you. We thank you for the victory, Lord. Lord, we just have hope. We have hope for this nation and all the nations that are related to it, Lord. We have hope that the gospel will continue to go forth, that the enemies will be smitten, and that you will form new governments, as I believe will happen very soon. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord. The Red Sea is coming. Lord, you have told us that if we stand on the authority of the Passover, then we're going to the Red Sea. The enemies are going to be smitten. Governments will be overthrown. And so on and so forth. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Haman will be cast down. Glory be to God. Ain't God good? Let me talk a little bit more about this authority that we have. Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the plots or the schemes of the devil." So we're to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the world rulers of this darkness and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Yes, they are hosting wickedness all over the earth. And we are against them, and we can fight with them and win, just as our Lord Jesus did and as he taught us to do. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So notice, if you do take up the whole armor of God, you can stand. Romans 16 and 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Woohoo! Praise you, Father. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Yes, Father, we ask for your grace upon every one of us, that you would teach our hands to war, that you would teach us to do spiritual warfare against the enemy and win, that you would help us to be salt to this world. We ask it in Jesus' name. James 4:7 says, be subject therefore unto God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, where there is no resistance, guess what? He has a heyday, right? But if you resist him, he will flee from you. Resist him. Resist him in your prayers. Resist him in your commands. Spend time doing this, unless you would like to live under Sharia law. I don't know. I doubt people in the West really know how horrible that is. Leviticus 26 and 6 says, and I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. Peace is promised to the bride, by the way, by virtue of the fact that she is holy and walking with God. And I will cause evil beasts to cease out of the land. All right, here's one beast we would like to see cease out of this land, Lord. This religious beast that wants to kill every Christian that doesn't change their mind. Neither shall the sword go through your land. Oh, wow. Praise God. Well, Deuteronomy 23 and 14. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee, and to give up thine enemies before thee. Okay, Lord, turn them over to us and show us what to do with them. Deliver us and give up our enemies before us. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he may not see an unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee. So, obviously, we need to be delivered, and we need to take out our enemies so that we please the Lord, that we not be an unclean thing seen in us. Psalm 44 and 5, through thee will we push down our adversaries, through thy name. Yes, that's what we use, the name of Jesus, the name above every name, right? The name with authority. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. Our sword is not what saves us, it's the sword of the Lord, right? The word of God, and speaking in agreement with it. But thou hast saved us from our adversaries. That was done at the cross. He delivered us out of the power of our enemies, and has put them to shame that hate us. Amen. 2 Chronicles 16 and 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. How do we get the heart that is perfect towards him? We let our minds be renewed by the word of God. Herein thou hast done foolishly, for from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Yes, if you walk in foolishness and rebellion against the Lord, God will bring enemies against you. Right? Psalm 144 and 1, a psalm of David. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower, and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge, who subdueth my people under me. He subdueth my people under me. Amen. Well, Lord, we know you're sending your David, Father, in a body of Davids to subdue the wicked, just like David and that kingdom did. They subdued the wicked beast all around them, Father. They conquered them all around them, brought them to naught. Deuteronomy 3:21, I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, Thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou goest over. All those kingdoms that fight against us, although we don't fight with physical swords, we do fight with spiritual swords. And you shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, He it is that fighteth for you. Yes, Lord, go before us, lead us into the battle, give us dominion over these enemies, Lord. We ask you in Jesus' name, impress the nations, Lord, with your power to save at the Red Sea. Yes, Lord, impress them. Habakkuk 3:12, Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the nations in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people. So he's judging the nations in order to save his people. For the salvation of thine anointed, thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked man. Uh-oh. Thou woundest the head, laying bare the foundation even unto the neck. Thou didst pierce with thine own staves the head of his warriors. They came as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Psalm 34:17, The righteous crieth, and the Lord heard, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as are of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. This means that we're going to be tested. We're going to have tests of our faith. You may command something and not see anything with your eyes, but that's not the reason to give up. You're to believe you have received until it comes to pass. You will be tested. You'll be tested by the wicked. You'll be tested by people around you. That does not mean you failed. It means you're tested. And when you're tested, if you stand and stand strong, you will see your answers, right? Isaiah 41:11 says, Behold, all they that are incensed against thee shall be put to shame and confounded. They that strive with thee shall be as nothing and shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Yes, we're totally outnumbered, but in many cases God just sent an angel. He takes down nations with an angel, for goodness sake. You know, it is not a hard thing for God to defend you. He owns the nations. They are His. Even Satan is under His thumb. 2 Chronicles 20:15, And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Fear not, neither be dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Yeah, we see a great multitude out there that are gathered against us. That's totally criminal and evil to the core, and were voted into office, for goodness sake. That tells you how blind mankind is, and even the church, you know. For the battle is not yours, says the Lord, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them, and behold, they come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the valley, before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Well, you and the Lord are always a majority in any situation, but this is a great multitude going against. And God said, don't worry about it. They're in my hand. The battle isn't yours, it's mine. I mean, we speak the word. God brings it to pass. The angels bring it to pass. We speak the word. But we have not because we ask not. If you don't pray for it, guess what? Evil will triumph. We celebrate that triumph. We celebrate the triumph that the Lord has given us over them. 1 Samuel 2 and 9 says, He will keep the feet of His holy ones. But the wicked shall be put to silence in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. They that strive with the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them will He thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength unto His king and exalt the horn of His anointed. So those that strive against the Lord are going to be broken in pieces. The wicked will be put to silence. God will bring an end of wickedness. He is going to give demonstrations of Pharaoh's fall in the Red Sea, right? Psalm 18 and 47 says, Even the God that executeth vengeance for me, and subdueth peoples under me, He rescueth me from mine enemies. Yea, Thou liftest me up above them that rise up against me. Thou deliverest me from the violent man. Praise God. Thank you, Father. He subdueth the peoples under me. He rescues me from mine enemies. He gives us the victory over these enemies. Amen? Oh, praise be to God. Lord, we thank You. Thank You for the victory that You've given us in Jesus' name. Thank You that we don't have to fear, that we can put our trust in You, that You have Your hedge of protection around about us, and that You have delivered us in Jesus' name. Isaiah 49 and 25 says, But thus saith the Lord, Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. So the captives will be delivered of the mighty. Makes no difference how mighty men are or how many men there are. They're not as mighty as the Lord. And the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee. There you have it, folks. He will contend with them. He will bring them down. And He said, I will save thy children. I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh. Now, think about that. And they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I am the Lord. I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Oh, the Lord wants to show us that He is our Savior. He wants to give us victory. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 6. If so be that it is a righteous thing with God to recompense affliction to them that afflict you, and to you that are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of His power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So He says, rest in Him, God is coming to save and to deliver, right? We know that there's obviously an application of this before the tribulation, and there's one at the end of the tribulation. It's two different groups of people God's dealing with, right? And two different ways that He's coming, too. So, Deuteronomy 9:3, it says, "Know therefore this day that the Lord thy God is He who goeth over before thee as a devouring fire. He will destroy them, and He will bring them down before thee. So shalt thou drive them out, and make them to perish quickly, as the Lord hath spoken unto thee." Well, we pray that everyone who is hindering the gospel will either be saved or be taken out of the way. And, of course, we want them to be saved. We would like the very most wicked of men to be saved, because God does save. And when He saves, these are, of course, different people, totally different. And they're the greatest witnesses of the power of God than anybody. It's because God can save to the uttermost. He can save the most wicked of men. And that's what we pray for. These are the ones that defend the gospel the most, like the Apostle Paul, you know. Psalm 60:11. "Give us help against the adversary, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for He it is that will tread down our adversaries." Psalm 105:13. "And they went about from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He suffereth no man to do them wrong. Yea, He reproved kings for their sakes." Yes, Lord, that's what we would like. We ask You to reprove kings for our sake. Reprove these rulers for our sake. Lord, we'd love You to just, kind of like You did with Paul on the road to Damascus, just get in front of some of them and reveal Yourself to them until they shake down in their shoes and submit to You. "Yea, He reproveth kings for their sakes, saying, Touch not mine anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm." Yes, Lord, say that to them. "Touch not mine anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm." Lord, we thank You for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ, who, according to Luke chapter 1, delivered us out of the power of our enemies. We thank You for it, Lord. Saints, I believe that we're on our way to the Red Sea experience. No, not in the letter, but in the spirit. We're on our way there. A couple of days ago, I asked the Lord for a word, and I got Psalm 106, and I'm going to read 9 through 12. And it's about the Red Sea experience that we've been talking about that is coming. "He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So He led them through the depths as through a wilderness." So God, in delivering His people out of Egypt, there was just no resistance. The Red Sea was no resistance. In fact, of course, it was also a weapon against His enemies. They found freedom from their captors at the Red Sea. That's what it represents. Freedom from the captors and their destruction at the Red Sea. That's where we're headed. And of course, they went into the wilderness. They didn't have Pharaoh's army behind them because they weren't able to cross the Red Sea. They were sunk in the depths. "And He saved them from the hand of him that hated them." and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. Yes, Luke chapter 1 says the same thing. We've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Believe it. Believe it and confess it. And the waters covered their adversaries. There was not one of them left. And of course, for all of God's people, the major adversary is the old flesh, which we know is the enemy of God. But also, the captives were that beast kingdom that sought to exercise their authority over God's people. Moses said, we have to go into the wilderness to worship God. Pharaoh said, no, do it here. And he said, we can't do it. We can't worship God in Egypt. And that's because you can't worship Him when you're in subjection to the beast of flesh, of self, right? So He gave us the victory. He redeemed us. Of course, at the Red Sea, it says, then believed they His words, and they sang His praise. So I thought that was awesome. And I do believe we've got a time of great joy coming as God smites the kingdoms that are trying to keep God's people captive. So I asked for another word, and I got something that was very similar. As a matter of fact, it was all about the Red Sea. I'll just read a couple of verses, and then I'll go back and look at the text here. Verse 10. Isaiah 51 and 10. Is it not thou that driest up the sea, the waters of the great deep? Thou madest the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over. Praise the Lord. It redeemed and it killed. It redeemed from the enemies and destroyed them. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Now you know the people that were in Egypt were taken captive in Egypt, and they couldn't return to their capital city, their leadership, so on and so forth. And so now God is making an opportunity for the people to return, right? And, of course, we've got a Red Sea experience in our day. People returning to their land, standing on their promises. It's called the Promised Land, right? In verse 14, the captive exile shall speedily be loosed. So now let me go back and look at the text a little bit here. Because there's some awesome promises in here for these people that are being freed by the Red Sea experience. Let's see. Let's start in 51 and 7. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be dismayed at their revilings. Well, I would say a lot of Christianity are cowed into submission. They don't think there's nothing they can do. They've got no authority and no power. So they try through politics and try through voting somebody in to put a stop to the criminal activity that they can see. But that's really not the way. I mean, God can use all that. But really, it isn't who votes for who, because as you can see, they control the voting machines. I mean, just do a little research on hacking voting machines, and you will see you cannot trust an electronic voting machine. They have been rigged from the beginning. Okay, you just cannot trust them. So what did your vote do? If God doesn't save us, who will? The voting machine? No way. Okay. I think Trump is now calling for people to ask specifically for a paper ballot. And even that may not cure the situation. It's got to be God. We've got to exercise our faith towards God. That will do it, okay? But fear not the reproach of men. Don't be dismayed at their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up. Now, a moth is a pretty feeble critter. But in the hand of God, it could be deadly, right? The moth shall eat them up like a garment. And the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation unto all generations. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. I would say this is a prayer towards God, because we know from Isaiah 53, to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed, right? And that is Jesus Christ, our sacrifice, our Lamb, our Passover. He is our strength. Put on strength. We cry out to God. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the days of old, the generations of ancient times, when God did such powerful miracles to save His people, like the Red Sea experience, like the stopping of the solar system. What did He not do? What is He not capable of? Anything. The nations are as a drop in the bucket, He says. They're nothing to Him. He can take them out at any time He wants. But what He's wanting from us, of course, is faithful obedience, right? Awake as in the days of old, the generations of ancient times. Is it not thou that didst cut Rahab in pieces, that didst pierce the monster? Well, the scripture speaks about the dragon being Egypt, among other things, but Egypt was the dragon in their day that sought to catch God's people before they went into the wilderness, catch them at the Red Sea, the dragon, who was in their Red Sea, you know. Thou didst pierce the monster. Is it not thou that driest up the sea, the waters of the great deep, that madest the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over? The Lord dried up the Red Sea, for goodness sake. What can be in our way? You know, do we not believe these things? Then we must believe that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return. Do you believe that those who have been taken captive by the beast, like for instance the factious people, who were taken captives for a purpose, not only a purpose for them, but also a purpose for those who they were used to crucify? God always has a purpose, but He also always redeems, if we believe Him. And we also are like His hand in Isaiah 53. We are the hand of the Lord. He's the arm, but we're the hand. He gives strength to us to do His works. He does everything through His hands in the earth. He desires to use us. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Oh, the joy of being set free after you've been in bondage. Just ask Nebuchadnezzar, for instance, when he was set free from that beast captivity he was in. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. There is a time of joy at the Red Sea. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now I know you've been through a lot of sorrow and sighing, and I have too. But there's a freedom coming. There is a shift coming. I, even I, am He that comforteth you. Who art thou that art afraid of man that shall die, and the son of man that shall be made as grass? Yet why do we fear man at all concerning... I mean, if you read the Bible enough, it gets down in your soul, and you understand that God is in control and that you should rest in His arms, that you should put your faith towards God and rest. David said, I sought the Lord and He delivered me from all my fears. Amen. So if you seek the Lord, He will do the same for you. He's not a respecter of persons. He will deliver you from your fears. And hast forgotten the Lord thy Maker that stretcheth forth the heavens. I mean, He's saying, look, this is our mighty God. For goodness sake, who can stand up to Him? And laid the foundations of the earth. And fearest continually all the day because of the fury of the oppressor. When He maketh ready to destroy. He didn't say when He destroyed, but He maketh ready to destroy. Definitely they're doing that. They're making ready, as we've already talked about, to destroy. They've got a plot. But they don't know that their Lord isn't Lord. Yeah. And where is the fury of the oppressor? In other words, you worried about this so much. Now look, where is it? He's talking about the Red Sea experience, right? You worried about it so much. Now you pass through the sea and you're rejoicing that God took care of this problem. The captive exile shall speedily be loosed. Praise God. That's so good. The captive exile. That's an exile. That's somebody that's out of their land, in the land of the enemy. Meaning, of course, the enemy has taken control over them and dominion over them, including their own flesh. He said, the captive exile shall speedily be loosed. He shall not die and go down into the pit. Neither shall his bread fail. Weren't they worried when they went into the wilderness that God wasn't able to keep them there and provide for them there? For I am the Lord thy God, who stirreth up the sea, so that the waves thereof roar. Now we just had our last study concerning what the waves represented. They represent the wicked, who always reproach the sand of the seashore, but they're not able to go over it, because God has set a bound unto them not to go over it. So it roars, it makes lots of threats, and if you believe in it, of course, you're going to have what you believe. Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. But if you believe in God, they're not able to wash over you. So that the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is His name. I have put my words in thy mouth, and have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens. You know what? What has God preserved us for? To plant the heavens. Abraham's seed was as the stars of heaven. We are to bring in the harvest, the stars of heaven. Of course, that's the first stage. Second stage is moon glory, and the third stage is sun glory, right? And lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. So now, it's not awake, awake, and put on strength, O arm of the Lord. It's awake, awake, and stand up, O Jerusalem, that has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of His wrath. So you've gone through chastening. The Lord chastens every son that He receives. And He's saying, enough. You have drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of His wrath. And thou hast drunken the bowl of the cup of staggering and drained it. Well, maybe you have staggered because of what you've gone through. It's kind of wavering, isn't it? Staggering. He says, there is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth. Well, it's true. What man could lead God's people through the wilderness? Which one could do it? Even those who have been there on their own, who have been there and tried and tested there, they still can't do it. It's the Lord who's coming to save His people. It's the Lord that's going to do it. Yes, He trains people to be able to hear from Him and to obey Him and to have experiences of overcoming in the wilderness, but they need the anointing. And that is the Lord who said He would come on the morning of the third day, right? He would come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain. That anointing will lead us through. Moses went out to the mountain of God. He met God. He received that anointing, and he came back to bring the people there, right? Neither is there any that taketh her by the hand among all the sons that she hath brought forth. Who can lead God's people? He said in Ezekiel 34, He was going to do it. He wasn't trusting this to any man. He will do it. These two things are befallen thee. Who shall bemoan thee? Desolation and destruction, and the famine and the sword. How shall I comfort thee? Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets, as an antelope in a net. They are full of the wrath of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God. Even Joseph, I'm sure one of God's favorite human beings, Joseph was in prison, in bondage, waiting for God to set him free and give him dominion. He could do nothing. Capable of nothing, was brought to the end of any ability that he had because he was in prison, restrained from the kingdom. Therefore hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus saith thy Lord and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thy hand the cup of staggering. Glory be to God. These are the people who have been assailed by the Judases. These are the people who have been crucified by the wicked. I have taken out of thy hand the cup of staggering, even the bowl of the cup of my wrath. Jesus asked that this cup could pass from him. Right? Thou shalt no more drink it again. The crucifixion is over. And I will put it in the hand of them that afflict thee. I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee. That is that cup of staggering. Those that have crucified, spoken against, railed against, lied against his people, especially his anointed, God is about to give them that cup of staggering. That have said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy back as the ground. In other words, they resisted not the evil. And as the street to them that go over. And now another, awake, awake. Awake, awake, and put on thy strength, O Zion. And that's the bride. This is the second exhortation like this. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. We've spoken before about how that natural Jerusalem is not a holy city, according to Paul in Galatians 4. It's anything but holy. But the new Jerusalem that John saw being born from above, that is the holy city. It's our capital. As Paul said in Hebrews, that you have come to this city, you who are born of God. You have come to this holy city. From henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Now this is the temple that Ezekiel spoke about. No one could enter that temple that was not circumcised in heart, right? And so it is with this bride, the circumcised in heart are members of this holy city, this bride that John called the bride, right? Or was told to John was the bride. Amen? And he's saying, stand up, take your place, take your position, do what you're supposed to do. Basically, the man-child told Esther that. Go do. For such a time as this have you come to the kingdom, right? Go and do what you're supposed to do. To defend, to speak to the king, to defend the people of God, so on and so forth. Take your authority, saints. Take your authority. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit upon the throne. That's a place of dominion, isn't it? O Jerusalem, that is the bride. Loose thyself from the bonds of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Loose thyself. You have authority to say no to the devil. You have authority to say no to the flesh. Loose thyself. For thus saith the Lord, you were sold for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money. And we know what cost was to Jesus to redeem us was his life. Right? Very, very precious price was already paid. And without money means nothing that you could earn could pay for this. For thus saith the Lord, my people went down at the first into Egypt to sojourn there. And the Assyrian hath oppressed them without a cause. The beast. Now therefore, what do I hear, says the Lord, seeing that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them do howl, says the Lord. And my name continually all the day is blasphemed. Yeah, the wicked who come against God's people to crucify them, to purify them, they blaspheme the name of the Lord. They speak against the righteous. Blaspheme means to speak against, right? Jesus said blasphemy against him would be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit would not be forgiven. And of course, when they see us, they just see men. And so that's the kind of sin that can be forgiven because they have their eyes on man and they think that God does not live in man. But whatsoever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done unto me, he says. So, but people who speak against the Holy Spirit, you know, these have a sin that is not going to be forgiven. But they speak against his name, against his nature, against his character, against his authority. They rejected Jesus because his name was so different. That means his nature and his character and his authority was so different. They were very jealous of him, very angry with him. Their nature was Antichrist, and so, of course, they would be against him. And so, since they hated him, they will hate us, as Jesus said. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, is it I? Well, you know, the nations are going to know and understand when the Red Sea parts and God's people are spared, but the wicked are taken down. The nations are going to know that this is that same God. It's he that speaks, and especially those who have said that it isn't God, and what we're doing is not of God. What God's anointed are doing is not of God, and speak against His name constantly. These people, or get the revelation that it's He that speaketh. And how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. It is so true. Our God reigns. He rules over the wicked. He rules over the nations. And He's just waiting for us to step up and take our position in Him, to be used of Him, like Esther. And Mordecai, of course, exhorted her to step up and take that position. Do what she's called to do. Why did she come to the throne in the first place, right? And He's speaking that to a lot of you out there. Do something. You're not just in the world to make a living. You're here to serve the King. The voice of thy watchmen, they lift up the voice. Together do they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord returneth to Zion. So true. Many will be taken out because they weren't watchmen. They'll be taken into captivity to the beast, like Zedekiah and his gang. But at the same time as these fall, like Saul, God is raising up Davids to take their place. The Davids can bring people through the wilderness because they've been in the wilderness. David was tested in the wilderness. So this is the man-child ministry that's coming. Praise be to God. And they're going to see eye to eye. They're going to know each other in the Spirit. They're going to be at total peace with one another. Not like the factioned and schismed church today. The reason they don't see eye to eye is because they don't know God first. You know. Break forth unto joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. In other words, that which is going to be restored. When God's people came out of captivity, they went back to restore Jerusalem. Right? For the Lord hath comforted His people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. Yes, and the fame of the Lord went out through all of those nations concerning how God saved His people at the Red Sea. Do you remember that? And they feared them. They feared Israel because of that. What a mighty God we have. Are we going to have such an experience? I believe so. All the nations are going to see what happened to the wicked Pharaoh and his army of people when they're taken down, and how God's people were set free from slavery to them. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Now this could be Babylon, could be Assyria, could be Egypt, you know, in our day. Could be America in our day. It fits all of these. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Cleanse yourselves, ye that bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out in haste, neither shall you go by flight. In other words, they weren't fleeing from anybody. The Lord had set them free. He had smitten their captors. They could just take their time. For the Lord will go before you. And he did. He went before them in a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night to give them light. And he also said he went behind them. And the God of Israel will be your rearward. In other words, you'll have protection from before and behind when you go through the wilderness. So, you know, that's very interesting in Revelation 12, where the woman went into the wilderness and the dragon was seeking to destroy the woman in the wilderness, that they were given the wings of the great eagle to fly to their place where they were defended from the dragon. And I do believe that the two wings of the eagle represented the gift that was given to them of the man-child to be overcomers. And the dragon couldn't touch them. Went away to make war with the remnant of their seed, right? And so it was with the dragon here, because, as you know, Egypt also, their king Pharaoh, was also the dragon, right? Behold, my servant shall deal wisely. He shall be exalted and lifted up and shall be very high. Amen. Now we would think, okay, that's Jesus. But now I believe he's talking to Jesus when he said, like as many were astonished at thee. That's Jesus. His visage was so marred. Now he's talking about somebody in the end times, right? His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Because the persecutors have given a false image of Jesus. They lied about who he was, what were his motives, what was holy and not holy. They lied about that, and they've done the same with the man-child. And now he's saying the man-child's going to be like you. That's what he's saying here. Like as many were astonished at thee. In other words, in the same way that they were astonished at thee. His visage, his image, they made him out to be somebody that he wasn't, somebody evil. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which hath not been told them shall they see. So remind you of Daniel. Before Nebuchadnezzar down to Belshazzar, right? The respect that they had for him, especially when they found that he had authority with God, that he was saved from the lions, etc., etc. You know? And that which they had not heard, they shall understand. And of course, then, we see something that fits very appropriately at this time in the Scriptures in Isaiah 53. Our Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ, and what He provided for us, and how He wants to use us. Well, we've got a few minutes. I guess I'll just read a little bit more of that. Who hath believed our message? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Well, I thank God he revealed him to me. I thank God I have met him. And I know that I am going to know him in a greater way in the future. But this is the awesome privilege that God gives to those whom the Father draws unto Jesus, right? For he grew up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. In other words, people of the world, people of the worldly church, they like to choose people with a form or comeliness, right? They like people that look good, sound good, put on a good show, you know, so on. But, of course, God didn't want people to be interested in Jesus or the man-child because of that purpose. And so, he had no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. There's nothing natural that would draw people to him. But there was something spiritual that would draw people to him. And that's the motive that God wants people to have when they're drawn to the man-child. There are the slick talkers out there, and that put on a good show, and so on, but God doesn't want that kind of a draw for his new leadership. That only worked for the old leadership. He was despised and rejected of men. Anything that is godly, anything that takes on the name, or anyone who takes on the name of the Lord, is going to be rejected of men, because there's the difference there between Christ and Antichrist. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If the world does not hate you, you are not coming into the image of Jesus Christ. That includes respected preachers in the world, see? A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Yes, amen. And as one from whom men hide their face, he was despised. Well, I suspect the same thing is happening today with the ones in whom Jesus is being birthed. They hide their face from him. They don't want to face him. The demons in them do not want to face him. They're afraid of him. And we esteemed him not. You have to have a born-again mind, a renewed mind, to esteem him. And the way of the kingdom is quite opposite to the way of the world. And what is respected by the world is not respected in the kingdom. And what is respected in the kingdom is not respected in the world. So, who can cross that chasm? Only somebody that is drawn and gifted of the Lord, to have his eyes open and his ears open, can cross that chasm. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Would that we always remembered that, and we always applied that. And of course, the word griefs here is the word sicknesses all over the Bible, because he hath borne our sicknesses, he bore our curse, he became accursed for us. What does it look like to be delivered from the curse when Jesus already bore it and he doesn't want us to bear it? And we are always tested and tried because we believe this, but the trying and testing of our faith makes us stagger or waver. And we overcome by degrees this staggering, this wavering, this being moved by what we see and what we feel instead of what the Lord says. We overcome that by degrees. God knows that. We don't fail quite as much this time as we did last time, right? Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Why? Why? Such a perfect man, right? Because he was bearing our curse. He became accursed for us. Galatians 3 and 13. He bore our curse. We need to remember that. We're accounted righteous through our faith. We overcome the things of the world, even the things that seem so contrary to what the Bible says. We overcome them by faith in the things that be not, by calling the things that be not as though they were. We claim that he bore our curse, he bore our sicknesses, even in the face of what we see as totally contrary to that. until that faith changes that thing, turns it around, delivers us, right? That's when we know we're overcoming. Verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. And Lord, let it be that we let you take our sins to the cross and let you take our sicknesses and deliver us your way. Put our trust in you. Walk the walk of faith. Give us authority over our enemies. Let us cast down fear and doubt and unbelief, Lord, and be well-pleasing unto you. As David said, Lord, he sought you and you delivered him from all of his fears. Lord, help your people not to appease the spirit of fear, because they will lose. Help them to fight with the spirit of fear, because if they do, they will win. You said, resist the devil and he will flee. Help us, Lord, always to remember that when fear shows up, we fight. We fight it. We cast it down. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And because we are stubborn, self-willed, stupid sheep, we need a sacrifice. Jesus delivered us from this curse that was passed on to us through the bloodline, the curse of the fallen nature, the Adamic nature. It's been delivered. We've been delivered from, in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord, to hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, because you are faithful that have promised. Help us to remember these things, Lord, and we know that trials are our opportunity to have more of you or to fail you. And Lord, we just ask that you help us to be well-pleasing unto you in every trial that we come to, as seeing it as an opportunity to have more of you. And Lord, we just praise you for it. We thank you that you've already given us the victory before the foundation of the world. We ask you, Lord, to help us to pray for everything. We know we have not because we ask not. In every situation, we need you. We need your gifts. We need your anointing, your wisdom, and your power. Lord, we ask you for them in Jesus' name. We ask you that we be more than the trial because of you. He was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he opened not his mouth. Amen. Well, he was a suffering servant. He went to the cross willingly for us. And, of course, we have to go to the cross because, and we're capable of going to the cross and having victory because of his sacrifice. We always keep our eyes on him. We always thank and praise God that we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. And as you know, Christ can go through the trial and be victorious. Right? We can too when we keep our faith in him. He opened not his mouth. He resisted not the evil. He loved his enemies. He did good to them that despitefully used him. Right? And as a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and as a sheep that before its shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression, this is the crucified life, isn't it? Yeah. The Lord taught us the crucified life in his sacrifice. And the more you deny yourself, the more we overcome and walk in this same image. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. He deserved it the least, but he took it for us. He was taken away, and for his generation, who among them considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Thank you for submitting your Son to this torture and torment for us so that we could be free. Amen. And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief, or made him sick. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. You know, you really can't pass on the seed of God without the crucified life, without suffering the death of self. That's how we pass on. You know, the seed is in the fruit, isn't it? The fruit falls off the tree, hits the ground, and the seeds are planted. And Jesus said, except we fall into the earth and die, we abide alone, right? But the seed is in the fruit. And so, in the bearing of the fruit of Jesus Christ, even in this crucified life where he denied himself for others, he turned his cheek, he loved his enemies, he did these things, and there was no self alive in him, you know. So it should be with us, no self alive. People who get offended all the time, they don't have any crucified life whatsoever. They're defending self. They're in competition with other people. This is all a stench in God's nostrils. That's why the old man has to die in the Red Sea baptism of the Word of God. They have to die. Everyone has to die. You can't reform the old man. He has to die. There's flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They have to die. So when he was made an offering for sin, meaning when he died, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. How is he prolonging his days? Because he died and he lives in them. He shall see his seed. The seed is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. When the Word of God enters into us, we bear fruit. We bear his fruit. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. Now, when he died, of course, he didn't physically prolong his days, but he prolongs his days in his seed. Just like a tree is passed on by the fruit with the seed, and then the next tree comes up, right? And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Well, he's the arm of the Lord, but the pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. We are the hand of the Lord. We are the seed of Jesus Christ if his word lives in us. And we are the ones he's going to use to turn everything around in this world. He shall see the travail of his soul, the desire of his heart, right? And shall be satisfied. In other words, he's going to be happy with what he does through his hands. His purpose is going to be fulfilled. By the knowledge of himself shall my righteous servant justify many. Yes, when we know about the Lord, we know the Word, and we justify the Word, we are accounted righteous because we believe and we justify his word. And other people are going to see that. Other people are going to have that to make it through this coming wilderness, to not die at the hands of the beast, so to speak. shall my righteous servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. It's the same with us, you know. I mean, he died for us so that we could die for others, right? We can bring the message and the anointing and the gift to others when we die, right? I'm talking about to self. Yet he bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So we too must make intercession for the transgressors. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. How I know that. I have seen people taken out by the Judas spirit. They don't even know what they're doing. If they did know, if their mind wasn't so captive to Satan, they would be abhorred. And also, you know, I believe that God's going to use that to cause people to be ashamed and to be abhorred and to not ever want to go back to that old life. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for the awesome gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for this Red Sea that's coming, Lord. We praise you for the deliverance for your people that's coming, Lord. We praise you for the conquering of the beast or the dragon that's coming against your people, trying to bring them back to captivity, trying to devour them into its body, which would mean Antichrist. Lord, the beast is constantly trying to change the minds of your people, to capture them with the mind of the flesh, which is none other than the mind of the beast. To capture them with the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, so that they won't have eternal life. And Lord, you died in order to give us eternal life, and we die in order to pass on your gift to others. Well, Lord, give us that power. Give us that anointing. Grant us grace, Lord, to be well-pleasing unto you, Father. Lord, I'm so glad that what the devil's scheme to capture your people at this time will fail. And that, yes, the woman will go into the wilderness and will there be given the wings of the great eagle to escape the dragon. They will be overcomers of this world, overcomers of the law of gravity, the law of sin and death. So we thank you, Father, for all you're doing for us in Jesus' name. Lord, please put it in the heart of all the brethren out there to do spiritual warfare against the beast kingdom and bring it down. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.